Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Look at you!
All right, honey, buddy, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. You are listening to Hammer and Ellen J. in the morning. I didn't get a chance to have my coffee. Good morning. You brought me in too.
I haven't had a chance to have my coffee either.
Well, welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to come in the studio, all you have to do is dial this number. Ellen has the number.
And 319-527-6099 is the number that gets you into the studio.
That's when I get you in. You hear this beautiful voice of Ellen like an angel saying, what would you say, Ellen, when they come into the studio?
Well, what I do say when they come in is I say, welcome to the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Can I have your name, please?
That's it. And you can just tell her, yes, my name is. You can give her any name you want to. We don't know who you are. And then Ellen will say this to you.
Okay, I'll let Brian know that you're here.
There you go. And then she'll put you on mute. You'll be on hold. And if you want to say anything, all you have to do is press the number one on your phone, and that'll alert us that you do have a comment, whatever we're talking about. And if you just say to her, if you don't want to talk, you're at work and you can't talk, all you have to say is, hey, I'm just listening. That's it. And we will not go to you at all. But we do invite you to come to the show. Welcome to our new format. We're going to run into some little bugs. Of course, every time when you change over to a new format, bugs happen. And Ellen's going to be talking about entertainment, and I will be talking about sports. All right, with all that going on, what we're going to do is we have our guest coming in, Mike Bromo. I don't know what is happening with our world today, but Mike's going to try to explain it in politics. We'll go over some of Donald Trump's tweeties, and then we have some, we'll talk gun control. I don't know, I don't understand, I'm not going to get into it. What is wrong with you people? Stop it. We'll talk with, I just don't understand you people. But
well,
Mike Bromo
okay,
won't.
See, this thing, the guy that did this Odessa shooting over the weekend, you cannot say that it was because he had mental illness. Okay, they even said that he went on this rant after he got fired.
We'll talk with Mike Bromo. I don't care. And
no,
I agree
I'm
with you.
I'm just saying.
I agree with
saying.
You, Ellen. I know what you're saying, and you're saying it good.
Well, you need to listen.
Well, I do, but if I do that, we don't have much time. And I can go and I can talk to you because I agree with you 100%, sweetheart. I do agree with you. And Mike will come in the studio and we'll hammer that out. And before he comes in, let's play a little bit of sound bites. You know, Trump is losing a lot of his support. Listen to this. This is according to Fox News. Here's the headline. This is only 2 days ago. Changing the channel, Trump hammers Fox News. Yeah. That is the title, Trump Hammers Fox News. And by the way, I think there's a I want to welcome a gentleman. I won't say his name, but he's been on Fox News quite a bit, and he's listening to the show. And I want to thank you for the follow, and thank you for the support, and congratulations. We are friends. You've been on Fox News. You've been on MSNBC. You've been on CNN. You know who you are. I will keep you anonymous, but I know you're listening today, and I'm going to say welcome. Here we go. Here's Trump is getting very upset with Fox News. This was the 29th. When was the 29th, Ellen? Was it Friday? Well, anyway.
The 29th, Friday.
Trump's been going on a tear. Here's Fox News. This is as of Friday. Listen to this.
No, wait. The 29th is Thursday.
Between Trump and Fox News fraying. Trump today calling into Fox's Brian Kilmeade radio show to say this.
The polls are phony, too. I mean, in all fairness, among my worst polls always is Fox. I have to say that. I'm not happy with Fox. You were a solid, I used to say you were a solid six, maybe a seven, but you're getting much better.
Trump also lashing out at the network on Twitter, lamenting that Fox, quote, isn't working for us anymore, prompting Fox host Brett Hume to respond, Fox isn't supposed to work for you. All this striking because of the deep bond Trump has had with Fox, appearing on Fox channels more than any other outlet combined, while his administration maintains a revolving door with the Fox Green Room. Trump has also invited Fox hosts to speak at a rally, all of whom remain staunch defenders of this president. But in the last several weeks, some hosts and guests have criticized Trump, setting him off. Watch. he seems to really at this point be the odd man out on a lot of issues there, whether it's trade, whether it's Iran, whether it's climate change. In fact, some people are calling it the G6 plus one.
Most of the top polling candidates in a head-to-head would beat Donald Trump.
So far, despite the president's claims to the contrary, there is no new wall. The president also said in the tweet that the wall is going up rapidly. It is not. As we just reported, there is no new wall.
I am joined now by progressive activist and author Sally Cohn and journalist and media analyst Eric Buller. Eric, let me begin with you. First of all, what in the world is going on between Trump and Fox? How do you look at it from a media analyst perspective?
Well, you know, it's interesting. He's taken shots at them in the past, and I've always kind of dismissed it. It always seemed kind of like a head and shoulder fake, a way to give them cover so Fox News can say, oh, we do journalism, we're not propaganda, even Donald Trump is upset with us. This is much more detailed and ferocious now. So you start to wonder if he's actually in such a thick bubble, such a paranoid, insecure bubble that he actually believes Fox News is after him. It might be the latest example of his sort of descent into madness if he thinks that everyone for 24 hours should sound like Sean Hannity on Fox News. So this is interesting. I don't know where else he's going to turn. I mean, no one else gives him that almost godlike coverage that Fox News does. So if he's going to turn off Fox News, there's nothing else to watch.
All right, so does this, you think, Sally, represent a change in Fox's stance towards the President Trump? When you kind of survey the entire landscape, there's always been a few pockets of independence there, if you want to call that, with Chris Wallace and a few others, but overall, is this a change for Fox News' position towards Trump?
Yeah, I mean, I was a Fox News commentator for a couple of years, so I happen to be a proud one of those pockets of independence and was always glad when they came up. And you're right, they have throughout both the campaign and during this administration. So there is something about this moment and why he's choosing now. And I think it has to do with two things, really. One is he is just throwing darts at everything he can find to try to distract from the economy. And the fact that he is sinking the economy, there are now predictions of a recession explicitly because of his trade war, his reckless, immature back and forth. And it's we're seeing press across the board that, you know, groups that have been conventionally with him, strong supporters, farmers, Rust Belt, et cetera, are no longer. And so he wants to distract from that story, first and foremost. And second, I think the other piece under here, especially when you see him attacking around the polling numbers, is he's pissed that it doesn't look like he's going to win re-election. And he doesn't want anyone telling that story. So this is him in, like, full freak-out mode. And I have to be honest, it's fun to watch.
All right, so Trump seems especially sensitive about polls because you talked about that. Take a listen to this.
Fox has changed. And my worst polls have always been from Fox. There's something going on at Fox, I'll tell you right now. And I'm not happy with it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
What is going on there? What do you make of that?
Well, yeah, she's right. I mean, the polling, that's his bread and butter, right? I mean, he lives and dies at that. That Fox poll is atrocious. He was at 38% versus every Democratic. I mean, the election is not that far off. If you're the incumbent and you're sitting at 38%, you should find other plans in a year or so. So, you know, simple things like that, numbers really throw him off. And the other thing that must be so confusing for the Fox News viewer, right? You watch Fox News, and those hardcore viewers have it on 8, 10, 12 hours a day. They watch it. It's nonstop worship for Trump. And then you're reading his tweets, and Trump's telling you Fox News is out to get me. What do they make of this? I don't know where they turn at this point.
He still has his allies with the folks like Brian Kilmeade, The Morning Show. He also has Sean Hannity, probably one of his biggest, Judge Jeanine on Saturday night. Can this president, realistically win re-election if he doesn't have Fox News in his corner?
I mean, I've stopped making predictions anymore. Look, the first thing is this: what's true is that this president cannot. He's already tight. He cannot win re-election if he continues to destroy the economy because of his own immature, reckless, wanton, ill-advised, to call even economic policy is an insult to the words economic and policy. So that's the first case. The second case is if he continues to try to distract from his increasingly reckless economic policy, with more and more policies of hate and otherizing and demeaning and dehumanizing, such as you were just discussing in your last segment,
right.
That will carve off those 3 to 10 swing voters in this country. So he is on a path. He already had a hard road to re-election.
Right.
He is on a path to somehow miraculously making his path even harder.
Yep.
And what he's trying to do here, literally, is shoot the messenger and hope that the people don't believe him.
We'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. All right, Eric, Sally, thank you both for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Ari Melber from MSNBC. You can see more of our videos right here, or better yet, subscribe to our YouTube channel below. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us, and we appreciate that.
Okay. I tried to time it.
Wow. Get back. Well, there you go. That's what's going on with Fox News. Now, I don't know if that's a head fake. I don't know if it's one of those things that'll bring Fox up in the ratings. I don't know. But here's the truth. The numbers are low. And let's go to the man himself. Oh, fuck. Well, that coffee just dripped all over my lap. That I'm wearing hardly anything, and now my balls are on fire. We'll take 1 minute before I... Just a one minute, Station. Just a little coffee
fire.
Down. Yeah, 1 minute while I scream. Station break. Hold on. Ooh, that hurt.
Ow! Damn it.
Okay, we're back from technical difficulties.
You literally did have great balls of
I
fire.
I literally did that. I reached for the cup. I don't know what happened. Just right out of the Keurig. Hot as can be. Smoking. Took a sip, and I guess I missed my bottom lip. And guess what? I got a little burnt. Woo! Live radio, everybody. So we go right to the guy. We go. Things I do for the show, I took it. I took it for you guys. That was for you guys. I took it in the balls. All right. We're going to go right into, we got a heavy show. We're going to go right into the man itself. And there's Donald Trump. We're going to go right on his Twitter. I don't know if that's a head fake. This guy's full of this carnival thing. I don't know. And it helps the ratings if Donald Trump is upset at Fox. Fox knows this too. Well, one thing you cannot deny is that his poll numbers are low. So we're going to go right to the source of what's going on. And this is Donald Trump before Mike Bromo gets in here. We're going to go right quickly to his tweeter. And
his tweeter. His tweeter.
Huh? His
what
tweeter.
What the hell's a tweeter?
A tweeter is no, it's a tweeter is a redneck who tweets. Twitter is honey. I'm going right to the Twitter. The tweeter. All right, dear, be careful. Yeah. Honey. I'm on the Twitty. I'm on the Tweety and the Tweety. The Twitter.
I like what you said yesterday. Mm. We're gonna talk about what Twendy.
With Twendy? Yeah, you get that Tweety Bird thing when you all these T's with Twendy and Twitter and this TW and I, you know what I mean? Mm.
Yeah, I said, what the hell is Twendy?
You sure did. I know. What the hell is going on here? Here we go. We're going to go right to the hell to the chief, and he's the chief. Like it or not. Donald Trump, everybody.
Yeah, but if his numbers keep going down like they are, he ain't going to be chief. He ain't going to be commander.
That is true. That is true. He may, though. I don't know if this is that deal. I'm going to ice my balls. I'll be right back. like you. And according to Donald Trump, always says a lot of things about fake news, who says it, whatever. Even when he says it is fake news, well, sometimes we have to go right to the source and make sure we get the news correctly. Here's Donald Trump. Jesus, again. Donald Trump. No, I didn't even do it to make fun. This is Twitter, this twinding, and Twump. He even did it. I didn't do that to make fun. Well, here's Donald Trump. This is 38 minutes ago. 38 minutes ago. Twelling. Stop at twelling. Here we go. 38 minutes ago. Germany and so many other countries have negative interest rates. They get paid for loaning money, and our Federal Reserve fails to act. Remember, these are also our weak currency competitors. That's it, Donald Trump. Go after our allies. You love Putin. You love Putin. You love the little dick in North Korea. So let's hit our allies again. Let's go after Germany, our number one ally, who ignores your stupid ass. Okay. Well, this is what he tweeted. Now, remember, we just had the shooting. We had the shooting. When was the shooting, Ellen? Was it Wednesday or Saturday?
I think it was Saturday. I know it was this past weekend. I think it was Friday or Saturday.
Mm. So this is what he's tweeting on Tuesday when everybody's at work. Donald Trump again. This is 50 minutes ago. For all the geniuses out there, many who have been in other administrations and taken to the cleaners by China, that want me to get together with the EU and others to go after China trade practices. Remember, the EU and all treats us very unfairly on trade also. Will change. Donald Trump, an hour ago. Oh, it added on. And then think what happens to China when I win. Deal will get much tougher in the when I win. It's always that continue. Folks, you got to elect me, folks, because now it's going to be, how are we campaigning? If I win, you'll get this. When I win, you'll get this. So, and he says, think what happens to China when I win. Deal would get much tougher in the meantime. China's supply chain will crumble and businesses and jobs and money will be gone.
Our supply chain will crumble because we get a lot of our stuff from China.
Right. Say goodbye to your iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Hard.
Really, China's supply chain will crumble? Are we dealing with a guy? I'm not kidding you. I'm not even making fun of it. Are we dealing with a guy who motivates his own mind and changes the narrative and then it becomes true? I don't know. Here's another hour ago. Donald Trump tweeted. I thought I saw a president. I did see it.
You did see a president.
I did see a president. Donald Trump tweeted.
His name is Obama.
Yeah. Oh, Alan, very good. Very good, Alan. That's funny. That is funny. I thought I saw a president. Oh, that's funny, Alan. Oh, I got to give you that. Donald Trump tweeted again 1 hour ago. We are doing very well in our negotiations with China. We're doing very well with our negotiation with China. Wait a minute. That's an hour ago. Wait a minute. Didn't you just say 30 minutes ago? What the? 30 minutes ago we were in trouble and we hated them and they were crumble.
Oh my God.
He's tweeting so fast that as soon as they got down here, now he's tweeting 7 minutes ago. I can't even keep up with this guy. His little fat fingers are going crazy. I'll read it as quickly as I can to catch up. Okay, give me a minute because I got to get myself together because he's tweeting. So Mike can even talk about this. And then what happens to China when I win? Deal which would get much tougher in the meantime. China's supply chain will crumble and businesses and jobs and money will be gone. That's an hour ago. Then he just tweeted within 5 minutes of that, we're doing very well in our negotiation with China. Well, I'm sure they would love to be dealing with new administration so they could continue their practice of rip-offs USA, $600 billion a year, 16 months. Again, the trigger words. I'm sure they would love to be dealing with a new administration so they could continue ripping us off. $600 billion a year, 16 months, plus a long time to be hemorrhaged. Jobs and companies on a long shot will be gone. Okay, and we're going to go.
This bullshit.
And then it says we're doing very well. And here's two more that he just tweeted so we can catch up and put in Mike. He's tweeting again. The man's out of his mind. 53 seconds ago. Stop it. I can't keep up with this guy. 53 seconds ago, Donald Trump tweeted, based on the IG report, the whole witch hunt against me and my administration was a giant and illegal scam. The House of Representatives should now get back to work on drug prices, health care, infrastructure, and all else. The Mueller report showed no collusion, no obstruction. 9 minutes ago. Knife crime, which is totally out of control. Oh, God. I don't even know if I want to read this. Ellen, we just had, four or five shootings the last month? This guy, 9 minutes ago, you're not going to believe what he tweeted. 9 minutes ago, knife crime, you know, with the knife, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says the knife crime, which is totally out of control in London. People are afraid to even walk the streets. He is a terrible mayor who should stay out of our business. He's talking about knife crimes, that people are so afraid in London to be walking the streets. He's going after the mayor of London. He is a terrible mayor who should stay out of our business. He's a terrible mayor who should stay out of our... You're talking about knife crime? We just had a shooting! He says knife crime is totally out of control in London. What the hell? All right.
We've had three shootings last month.
He's out of his freaking mind. You're talking about knife crime? He says there's a guy in the street, everybody, and they locked down London because there's somebody with a knife in the street. That's what Donald Trump says. They can't even walk the streets. We got to bring in Mike to reach through all this stuff, and we're going to talk about this right now. Usually I would close it down. I'm not even going to go. See, I have OCD, Ellen. I have to play the song. Hail to the chief, and let's bring Mike in. I can't hammer this out. Nobody can hammer this out. And I know people who are Trump supporters, and I love them dearly. I kiss them. I hug them. I wave goodbye. I invite them in my home. Of course, I count my Civil War after they leave. And then I say goodbye to you. And that's the end of Donald Trump tweeting. And Mike Romo's in the studio as of now. We have to get the president out of here. President and Queen. It's me, pleasure. The man who worked with the Reagan administration, the man had Reagan's ear, and so did Nancy. Both of them were pulling on Reagan's ear to make sure he was focused and completing the Cold War tactics. The man who worked in the administration who brought Russia down. And the Cold War came to the end. I introduce you to Mike Romo. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm confused.
Good morning.
I'm confused. I'm confused, Mike. Scared.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mike, let's talk politics here. I don't know if you heard the thing I played about Fox News, Donald Trump. I don't believe it, Mike. Trump going
that.
At Fox.
I didn't hear that.
Okay.
Oh, he's going after Fox News. I am aware that he's going after Fox News. Yeah.
Right. You think? See, Trump's like a carnival barker. He did this with what's her name? She had a show on NBC. They kicked her out. He said she was bleeding everywhere. What's her name? Kelly? Megyn Kelly?
No, he did that. The lady. That was Megyn Kelly. Yeah. There's two women he talked about that are bleeding, and that was one of them. Yeah.
So I don't know about this thing, and so now he's going after Fox News. It's not the news anymore. Are people going to – Mike, do you believe this crap, or is it just carnival and show? Because Trump is all about ratings. And if Fox News, if he goes after Fox News, more people are going to tune in Fox News to find out what the hell is going on. What do you think about that, Mike, before we go any further? Is this a real feud?
I do think that Trump is – I read an interesting article over the weekend that a friend sent to me. And we hear Trump being called a narcissist frequently. And I think – that probably is, this article is a very sober, you know, non-political article talking about narcissism and how people display it and whatever. And I think above all else, Donald Trump is a narcissist. And all he cares about is himself and what's being said about him, and that a lot is being said about him. And I think with Fox News, the fact that Fox News, and all they did was what any news organization does, and they had a Democrat come on talking about the Democratic candidate. And he went crazy because the focus wasn't on him. So I do think he's pissed off, for lack of a better word, and probably the most appropriate way of putting it, at Fox News. I do think he probably is. And maybe he'll think he'll get ratings. I don't know. But he's gotten a lot worse in the past month since he's really been tanking, and he's tanking in all polls. No matter what Trump supporters are saying, he is tanking across the board. He's doing terrible in polls, in all aspects of polls. He's even underwater when it comes to polling regarding his handling of the economy. More Americans now think disapprove of his handling of the economy. And he was even, for a while, he was a little bit above water on that, but even he sunk on that. So, and he is a man, despite what he says, who probably wakes up every morning and looks at the polls, and the polls just are not good. And I don't see anything making them get better.
I agree with you, Mike. And, you know, this is not – people keep remembering. I hate when people go back. Remember 2006? Remember what the Obama administration – remember the impeachment, what happened to Nixon and everything? Hey, guess what, people? These are all different situations. Shut up. I'm going to get on Nancy Pelosi later. Right. And I don't mean to rush you, Mike. We just don't have enough time with you, so I'm going to hit you with so many quick questions really quickly.
That's fine.
Thank you. Mike Bromo's on the show, everybody. Mike Bromo was working with the Reagan administration. Mike is I don't know if I could categorize you as a conservative Republican, because I think you have
–
I would say you're more
of a moderate.
Liberal.
I was moderate.
You're moderate?
Well,
okay.
I would say on social issues I was probably more liberal, and on fiscal issues I was conservative. But overall, I've always thought I was a moderate person when it came to politics.
Right. And so I listen to Mike. You know, we have fun. We're going to clean it up a little bit. I hope this show's not going to be boring, because we're going to be – Mike, you're going to like that. We're going to be more professional. How's that, Mike? Wow.
I've gone with the punches, whatever happens.
Oh, you took a lot. You took a lot.
Yeah.
But you know what? You've given a lot, too. You didn't lay down. You got off the mat, and you gave him a sucker pump.
If they're going to punch at me, I'll punch the same way back.
You do. You got a mean right cross, buddy. You really do. Let's get right to it. Mike, so we got the hurricane going on. Everybody's worried about the hurricane. And we're going to talk about gun control, because I really want to talk to gun control before you leave.
Yeah.
The Republican stance and the liberal stance. Here's a soundbite here. So it was Donald Trump. Remember, he canceled the meeting in Poland because he wants to stay home with everybody. He's the president in chief in control. So this is what he did. While the hurricane, this is yesterday, by the way, while the hurricane was coming on, September 2nd. Here we go. Listen to this, and Mike will respond.
They wanted a quote, small number of persons.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on, everybody.
Hold on.
Sometimes that happens. It's live radio. All right. I like you, dude. Not your segment. All right. Hold on. Here we go. And Mike, here's a little bit that you could do the commentary.
President Trump today visited his golf course and aired his political grievances on Twitter while keeping
As the storm is threatening the U.S., President Trump today visited his golf course and aired his political grievances on Twitter while keeping an eye on the hurricane. CNN's Caitlin Collins reports from the White House. Today, the president teeing up at his golf course outside Washington as Hurricane Dorian battered the Bahamas and bore down on the U.S. Critics reminding him of this promise he once made to supporters.
I'm going to be working for you. I'm not going to have time to go play golf.
I'm not going to be playing much golf.
He also spent the morning attacking the media and a prominent union leader on Twitter while retweeting updates on the storm and the boat fire in California, as White House officials insist he was briefed hourly on Dorian's movement.
The federal government stands ready to assist.
After a weekend at Camp David, the president returned to Washington for a briefing at FEMA's headquarters, where he appeared baffled by the storm's intensity.
I'm not sure that I've ever even heard of a Category 5. I knew it existed.
Even though there have been four Category 5 hurricanes since he's been in office, it's not the first time he's claimed surprise about the common term. He said the same thing after Hurricane Irma in 2017.
I never even knew a Category 5 existed.
The National Weather Service also forced to correct the president after he claimed Alabama was in Dorian's path.
So for Alabama, just please be careful also.
The National Weather Service in Birmingham, Alabama says that's not so, tweeting, Alabama will not see any impacts from Dorian.
What?
We repeat, no impacts from Hurricane
what?
Dorian will be felt
oh
across
God.
Alabama. The system will remain too far east. Now, Brianna, after the president spent about four or so hours at his golf club earlier today, he is now back at the White House, and right now, no more public events on his schedule for today. All right, Caitlin Collins
yeah.
at the White House. Thank you so much.
Yeah, let's
oh
make
my
sure
God.
He doesn't. Let's make sure he's not in public.
Alabama, hello.
Everybody.
Hello.
I hope Alabama's okay.
Katrina was a Category 5. He never knew
right.
they existed. Oh,
he
my
said
God.
He never knew it existed. Let's go to our Mike Bromo here. What the hell is
yeah.
happening, Mike Bromo?
Well, you know, I there's so many things to unpack with his handling of this hurricane. One of them being, I he used it as an excuse not to go to Poland. And I say excuse because I cannot remember what there was going to be some sort of protest or whatever in Poland that he just didn't want to deal with. And I think that is the reality of why he didn't want to go to Poland. He also in Poland, this is I'm getting a little bit off subject, but I'll get right into answering the hurricane stuff. One of the things he also did this weekend, this was the 70th anniversary of Poland, I think, being liberated. The reason he was supposed to go was it was the 70th anniversary of Poland being liberated from the Nazis. And during World War II, Poles, Jewish Polish people, were being taken in trains to extermination camps. Poland was ravaged during World War II and decimated during World War II by the Germans. And rather than the President of the United States saying this is a time when we need to reflect on, you know, the Polish patriots who fought to defend their country in the hour of just true evil, he just issues this thing like, we want to congratulate Poland today. You don't congratulate Poland for World War II because they were decimated. It was just a small thing, but it was yet another example of the president not knowing what's going on. Same thing with this hurricane. I mean, he did, and he did state, you know, people, I mean, he's the president of the United States saying, you know, Alabama, you know, you're in harm's way. You're going to get hurt. The exact phrase he used is Alabama's going to get hurt bad. Well, Alabama's not even going to get nothing, as the National Weather Service quickly pointed out. But on top of any he not only said it, Trump put it in writing and tweeted it yesterday morning, I think. And then last night, because the National Weather Service had to come out and correct him, he was saying he never did it. And he not only did it on and it was taped, there's a video of him saying Alabama, is in harm's way. He tweeted it. And then he denies he did it. And that's either indicative of a person who really is disconnected from reality or just thinks his supporters will believe whatever he says. And I think it's a combination of both. I think he's disconnected from reality and his supporters believe whatever he says.
He's got the start of Alzheimer's and dementia, if you ask me, too.
I think that's true, too. And shame on his family for not stepping in and, you know, in 2016 and saying maybe now's not the time to run for president when you're losing your mind. Hurricane Dorian is, and Alan can speak more to hurricanes than I can. I mean, I was in Florida for a couple hurricanes through the years, but not like Katrina in Louisiana and in the Gulf area. But, this is a strange hurricane. I mean, it is just, it's moving now a little bit. I mean, I don't know what it's up to, if it's up to 2 miles an hour or whatever it is, because I haven't looked this morning. But, I mean, that hurricane, it just stopped on top of some of the islands in the Bahamas. And I can't even imagine that. The one thing about a hurricane was at least they were moving and at least it was going to pass over you. But this thing, and, now they're saying that the one thing I did hear this morning, I was talking to someone in Florida, and I guess they're getting reports it's going to be about 10 miles off the shore. Well, 10 miles off the shore for a Category 4 hurricane, that's going to be a disaster in Florida and up the coast. So, I'm concerned that the president doesn't understand what he's dealing with when it comes to this hurricane. He certainly didn't understand the aftermath of the hurricane that decimated Puerto Rico.
Hurricane Michael.
Yeah, and didn't 3,000 people, more than 3,000 people, died as a result of that hurricane. And the majority of those people, the largest number of those people, died in the days and weeks after, because the response was all screwed up.
That's the thing, okay? That's the thing with the hurricanes of this magnitude. Louisiana experienced the same thing. Most of the people, a lot of the people, they got caught in the water, but it was the aftermath of the hurricane. No water, no food, power. That is what killed a lot of the people after that. And if Trump thinks that people can bounce back, Hurricane Katrina was 14 years ago on the 29th. Okay, there are still places around that have not bounced back.
But you know what? I think it's a good move. But hear me out for a minute, because we got a lot of things before Mike goes. I really want to hit it really quickly. And you're right, Ellen.
I'm an old man.
14 years ago,
I was to go take my nap.
Okay. But Ellen's right. I didn't realize Katrina was like over 10 years ago, and we're still talking about it, how devastating it was. And you're right, Ellen. But here, let me do this transition really quick. Now, Donald Trump says this. There's two things, and I've got to talk really fast. What do you think about Donald? We just had a shooting again. And we had a shooting and a shooting and a shooting in the last 2 months. It was just unbelievable. People were running scared. So the guy in London gets under Donald Trump's skin. I mean, I have never seen anybody else get under Donald Trump's skin but the mayor of London. He gets under Donald Trump's skin. That one thing going after – now, first of all, it's an ally. You got to remember, maybe we have a thing. Mike, you know more about this than I do. Do presidents have this unconditional thing that we never comment on other countries' politics? We kind of stay away from it, but – to have an American president insert himself and say this, that knife fights, I mean, people are knifing all over London and people are afraid to go in the street because there's a maniac running around with a knife. And it's like, we just had a shooting. What's your thinking? I mean, who would say there's a guy running around with a knife and he's killing people? But never mind what's going on with us in the U.S. And then he says, stay out of our business. You're talking. But Mike, help me out here. What kind of message are we sending to London, and what kind of message are we, the people of the United States, is looking at this? This guy's tweeting at a guy, mayor in London, and telling them to stay out of our business, and there's a nice serial killer running around poking people, and people are afraid to walk in the streets. Mike, give me your commentary.
There's a lot of things wrong with that. Like, London is a city that lived through, in fairly recent history, bombings with some regularity. When the troubles were going on in Northern Ireland, they would bleed over into London. And I went to school in London in the mid-'80s, late-'80s, and there would be a bomb go off every once in a while in central London, but that didn't stop people from going about their business. And, a person, running around stabbing people is not going to make people in London stay at home. They just don't do that. They have a history of standing firm, and they go about their business. They don't have mass shootings like we have in the United States because they have reasonable regulation of weapons. And I think the reason, number one, Donald Trump personally dislikes the mayor of London. I don't know why. The mayor of London happens to be a Muslim. That might be part of it. Donald Trump mm-hmm. doesn't seem to have a lot good to say about Muslims. But I don't know. I've never really explored what triggered Donald Trump to hate this particular person. If we were to spend our time doing that, we would be spending all day, every day,
true.
Trying to figure out why Donald Trump hates
true.
All these people. But
true.
I think when it comes to the knife thing, and, after the shooting, the pair of shootings in El Paso and Dayton, Donald Trump came out again and said, I'm going to push or fight or whatever. He probably didn't say fight, but I'm going to begin work on background checks and red flag laws. And that's all water under the bridge now. He's not going to do it. And now he's trying to divert attention from the latest shooting, which, as the investigation is going on this shooting, we thought it was a guy that reacted to a police officer pulling him over. As it turns out, the guy was spinning out of control earlier in the day. The FBI is saying he went to his job mentally out of control, or out of control. I don't want to throw the word around mentally. I don't know if it's a mental health issue. No, we don't know that yet. But he was expressing grievances, is what the FBI is saying now. So he comes to work, is angry and is out of control in the sense that he's, and it could be mentally ill. I don't know, but he's spewing out hateful rhetoric of some kind. And so he gets fired. But the FBI is implying, at least as of last night, I don't know if there's been a change this morning, that they're stating specifically that the guy was out of control before he went to work. He was on a rampage before he went to work, goes to work, gets fired, gets in his car. But at work, he had called the FBI and the police. So the police were looking for him. And so I don't know really the reason. I'm now wondering if the police pulled him over.
What I heard, Mike, was that he got fired from work. His boss at work was on the phone with 911 at the same time that he was on the phone with 911. They were giving giving the police, what was going on. So the police were looking for him. They were talking to his people at work. And, they were chasing him, and it all started. He got pulled over because they were looking for him.
Bingo. Yeah. I think that's exactly. So it was no longer a left-hand ticket situation. They were specifically looking for him. And so I think as this has developed, Trump wants to divert attention away from this guy because it's in this situation, because it's another example of a mass shooting. I think it's 7 people were killed. I don't remember. I don't know.
Some people were 7. Killed. 20 were injured.
Yeah. So it's another mass shooting. And again, initially Trump supporters were saying the guy was a Native American. I don't know why they chose to do that, because we're going to find out They tried that with the shooter in El Paso. They said he was a Mexican, and he's not. He wasn't. And now they started off this one saying this guy's he's not a Native American. He's a white guy, and he's a registered Republican. I'm not trying to inject politics into this because I don't know if this is another shooting of a white supremacist kind of thing. I don't think it is. There may be a political overtone to it, but he's a white guy. I've seen his picture. Some people went out and did checked his family's background. He has less Native American blood in him than Elizabeth Warren does. And that's not much.
He was a white guy. I think his name was Stephen something. I don't remember either.
I posted a picture of him when they were saying he was Mexican because I wanted to say, look, he's not Mexican. And I got so much hell for mentioning his name. So I'm not mentioning this guy's name because I'm trying to limit some of the hell I get.
You're right, though, Alice.
His name is something like that. That is right. But he's not an Indian. He's not a Native American.
Right. And what does – oh, I understand. If he was a Native American, he cannot be connected to white supremacy. I understand the context.
Yeah.
But let me – you know, when people – I'm going to have to move everybody along because there's so many questions I want to ask Mike. And you guys excuse me if I move this forward.
That's okay.
When I read that tweet about Donald Trump going after the mayor of London, we might dismiss it as like, okay, Donald Trump's, you know, he's half-cocked and blah, 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 blah. But let me tell you the importance of that. London relies on tourism dollars, as in any other country. So when you have the president of the United States saying that people are afraid to walk the streets and that there's people running around and with knives, you have to look at Parliament. You have to look at the Queen. You have to look at it's like, what are you doing? I mean, that's basically an attack on the British. And you got the President of the United States tweeting that people are afraid to come out in the streets. What is that going to do with the tourism dollar, if you happen to believe it? And if you're an uneducated person, you're going to go, I'm staying away from London. I mean, that could be devastating to the economy. Or am I reaching too much, Mike?
Go ahead, Ellen.
I can answer this. No, you're not. Because, you know, and again, I'm going to bring up Katrina. Because after Katrina, people were scared to come to New Orleans. And that had an impact on tourism.
True. Now, I'm going to move Mike along here. Mike, tell me what's wrong with this. Donald Trump on gun control. I have my own little thing. I want to comment on the golfing. So anyway, the first clip that I played, Donald Trump went golfing when the hurricane was approaching Florida. Okay, and people, when you look at that picture, you go, what, really? You're going golfing? But I think it's a promotional business move. I think it's a genius move. The message is, I'm golfing and you're worried about the hurricane and devastation and this and this and this. It's okay, folks. It's okay. I'm golfing here in Florida. And the hurricane's coming. I'm a strong man. I'm a strong president. Nothing to see here. What does the image says to you, Mike? I think that was on purpose. Make sure the cameras were there. Let's get the photo op. I'm golfing, and when the hurricane's approaching, it's okay, everybody. Everything's going to be fine. What do you think, Mike? What is that image?
Well, he was actually at one of his golf clubs outside Washington, D.C. He stayed out of Florida. He wasn't in Florida.
Oh, okay, that was Florida.
Yeah, so I understand what you're saying. I think that, you know, I was – Barack Obama went golfing once, excuse me, within a few minutes after announcing the death of James Foley, the journalist who was beheaded. And he was on a golf course in 8 minutes. The media even timed it. 8 minutes he's on a golf course. And I thought, that is not what a president does. You don't deal with – a tragic situation to go play golf. So I took Obama to task. That was one time that I took Obama to task for playing golf because Obama didn't play golf all that much in reality. And Trump, good Lord, I mean, he's on the golf course all the time.
Yeah, I mean, and
excuse me, I'm battling allergies.
Yeah, you have to remember, okay, for him going to Mar-a-Lago, He is the reason why our economy is spinning out of control, because him spending all this money on trips and everything to Mar-a-Lago,
yeah.
He spent over $1 million.
Oh, it's a tremendous amount of money. And, you know, and people talk about, well, he's not taking a salary. Good Lord, I mean, his salary's $400,000 a year, and he's spending millions and millions of dollars going to play golf. Take
mm-hmm.
his salary and stop playing golf. So, but it's, you know.
Yeah,
I,
and he's
I
going
think,
back on his word about what he said.
Oh,
I'll
yeah.
be, I won't be playing golf.
Yeah, I'll be
really?
Too busy to play golf. Yeah,
it.
It's crazy. I mean, he was on the golf course at least 4 hours yesterday. When there's a hurricane that, you know, people are, you know, it might not slam directly into a city, but it's going to go along the shore for days, you know, starting at Category 4 and ending up, like, in Maine at Category 1, which is still a big storm. But going across the world, this is a big deal for the United States. Yeah, there's still a lot of confusion about what's going to happen. But, playing golf, probably not the thing to do. And then there was the ship on fire where I think 30-some people died off the coast of California.
Yeah,
and 30 that's
people
Coast Guard
died
matter.
On that
yeah.
scuba dive boat because
the
there
scuba
was
diving
no
boat.
For them to get out.
Yeah, didn't they lock them in or something? I mean, it's a weird deal.
Oh, yeah, but the crew people, the four crewmen.
They were on top and just jumped off.
They jumped in the water.
They jumped off,
and
there was radio.
Other people in there to die.
And then die. And there was the Coast Guard was radioing back and forth to them before they jumped off. And the last transmission from the Coast Guard was, can you, after they jumped off, or getting ready to jump off, they said, can you please go back and unlock the door? So these 30 people were locked in. And, you know, and I don't know. I don't, you know, was the fire so strong they couldn't unlock? I don't know. But that was the conversation they were having with the Coast Guard, is these people – and why they were locked in the first place is baffling,
yep.
baffling. But, you know, that's another thing. The president was – so you have that going on, this going on. It's Labor Day. The president's not a big union fan, excuse me, but it's Labor Day. He finally did tweet something about Labor Day. But what he tweeted about Labor Day was – the workers in the United States are doing well because of me. That's what he tweeted for Labor Day. I mean, the guy's, you know, he is a wing nut. This man is just bonkers anymore. So, and I don't know how else to word it. He's bonkers.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. And we're going to go on because I want Mike to answer this. We're going to go into, here's Donald Trump with the shooting of Odessa September 1st. So he's talking about this, I guess, was posted. This is the source is the Washington Post. It was posted September 1st. Here's Donald Trump on gun control, on the shooting in Odessa. Oh, boy. All right, here we go.
Yeah, we're looking at the same things. We're in the process of dealing with Democrats, Republicans. They've been working very hard on it. They're coming back very soon, and there's a big package of things that's going to be put before them by a lot of different people. We have a lot of groups working on it. Well, I've been speaking to them. I've been speaking to a lot of senators. We've been speaking to a lot of House members, a lot of Republicans, a lot of Democrats, and people want to do something. So we're going to see. This really hasn't changed anything. We're doing a package, and we'll see what it all, how it comes about. It's coming about right now, and a lot of people are talking about it, and that's irrespective of what happened yesterday in Texas. Well, we're looking at a lot of different things. We're looking at a lot of different bills, ideas, concepts. It's been going on for a long while. Background checks. I will say that for the most part, sadly, if you look at the last four or five, going back even 5 or 6 or 7 years, for the most part, as strong as you make your background check, they would not have stopped any of it. So it's a big problem. It's a mental problem. It's a big problem.
You know, I love the art of saying nothing, saying something but saying nothing. I wonder if I do that, Mike. Let's try if I can do that, because that's an art. I'm going to try the wingness and hang in there. Ellen, ask me, you're a news person, and ask me about, are you going to try to stop the women menstrual, you know, having a period? And just ask me that, because Ellen, let me give you the background. Scientists have discovered a pill that will stop menstrual cycles. And it's going to the House, and it's going to take a vote. And ask me the question as a news person about this menstrual pill. Not menstrual, but, you know, period pill. We call it the period pill. And see if I could do what Donald Trump does. Ready, go.
Okay. Mr. Jackson?
Yes.
I'd like to ask you, can you give us a little bit of information on this new pill? They're calling it the period pill to help women and girls stop having their periods every month.
Yes. Well, you see, it's a big problem, and we got people working on this problem, and I understand the problem because of the bloating and the cramping, and a lot of women are very uncomfortable with their menstrual cycle. We got people working on it. I hear people talking about it, and we're going to put a package together. And I say it's a major problem. It's a gigantic problem that women are having every month. We don't need to go through this. And people are talking about it. We're getting people together. And I think it won't be a problem anymore, but we'll see. We'll just see what happens with it. But I get it. I think it might have to be mental illness.
What?
Yes.
What the hell?
Next question.
You know, and that's...
But the deflection of this guy saying, you know, saying a lot of nothing. But go ahead, Mike. It's my answer.
You know, that's
go
the
ahead.
Thing. Like and I'm going to speak specifically to the El Paso shooter. Yeah, you know, for someone to do that, excuse me, you're not going to be necessarily emotionally well balanced. It doesn't mean you're mentally ill. The shooter in El Paso thought out what he wanted to do. He was meticulous. He wrote a very well, decently written manifesto. Don't agree with it. Think it's a lot of sick stuff in it, or appalling stuff in it. I want to avoid the word sick. But it was logically thought out. The shooter in El Paso is not mentally ill. He intended to do what he did. He was, you know, you read his manifesto, despite what Trump supporters are saying, he uses the same language Donald Trump uses. He acknowledges Donald Trump in it. This was a person who had a political ideology and felt he needed to act on it by killing people of color. So Donald Trump is trying to paint all of these shooters as being seriously mentally ill. Shouldn't have had guns in the first place. Well, we're talking about more than guns, too. We're talking about weapons that are beyond guns people need to protect themselves for hunting, etc. Even the Supreme Court has indicated these types of weapons can be regulated and are beyond the protection of the Second Amendment. And that includes Justice Scalia, one of the most conservative Supreme Court justices in the last 100 years. So that's Donald Trump's latest strategy, is to paint all these shooters as mentally ill, and that there's very little we can do about it because they're crazy. Well, not all of them are crazy. Some of them are thoughtful, intelligent people who are acting on political ideology and not mentally ill. And we need – Trump doesn't well, Trump knows that, but the ideology they're acting on is his.
You know, a lot of people were blaming McConnell. I hate Mitch. I hate Moscow Mitch.
Yeah.
I hate him with a passion.
Yeah.
He looks like a puppet that just should have been retired years ago. The wood's dead. Dead wood. But people are blaming Mitch for not putting a gun – control bill. There's many bills out there that's not putting it to the floor. And then Mitch came out. Right. And, well, Mitch came out. I don't have the tape, and I'm and usually when I do talk, I have some facts backing me up. But there's a rumor that some people are saying that Mitch is saying, look, I want a gun control bill. I'm waiting for the president to put one to me so I could put it to the floor. Now, Mitch, now I heard he said that. I can't find it. There you go. Now, help me out, Mike. Let's say Donald Trump does say, you know what, I'm tired of this. He's not going to because he tried that one time and Rush Limbaugh reamed him. And when he heard that Rush Limbaugh reamed him on his gun control issue, he backed off like a bitch. But let's just pretend that Donald Trump wants a gun bill. And he could go to Mitch and say, get this onto the floor. I mean, Mitch is not going to go to Trump and say, no, Mr. President, I'm not going to do it. He will do it. So is it fair that we go after Mitch McConnell here, or is it purely Donald Trump not putting a gun control bill in the Congress because of the NRA?
You know, it's probably a combination of both, because there is a bipartisan bill or bills, there might be more than one, that have passed the House that deals with certain aspects of, you know, some regulation of gun use in the United States or gun availability. And it Republicans and Democrats in the House voted for it. Mitch McConnell's held it up. And probably if Trump were to say, you know, go ahead and bring that bill to a vote, McConnell would. But Trump isn't – I can't think of any legislation, including the tax reform, and I'm using air quotes, bill – that didn't come from Trump. He said he wanted one, but it was the Republicans in Congress that came up with it. And it's the same thing with Trump's health care plan. He keeps talking about, and he has since 2016, that his health care plan is going to be beautiful. Well, there's not been a health care plan now, you know, 3 years down the road, zero plan, no plan. And any in the action that the Republicans, this kind of haphazard stuff picking away at Obamacare. So, you know, I think the fact that Trump hasn't had any, even though he said he would, any kind of legislation dealing with background checks or red flag laws, I think, you know, and McConnell hasn't done anything about it because Trump isn't pushing it. Trump isn't going to come up with something on his own. The White House isn't going to come up with something. And McConnell keeps the NRA happy by doing nothing. But
well,
I think there are some Republican senators, and Colorado being one of them, and some others that are in trouble in 2020. So, you know, not only is the House going to stay Democratic, the Senate, I haven't sat down and looked at all the seats, 33 that are whatever they are, 33 seats that are up in 2020. But Republicans are going to be losing seats. And I just don't know how many at the moment, but they're already close to being in the, you know, they're barely the majority now. And if the Senate switches and Trump loses the presidency and the House stays in Democratic hands, which I think it will, it's going to be a totally different day in Washington. And it's just going to be, you know, and we're going to swing way the other direction, you know, farther than most Americans want us to swing. But we're heading into, you know, so, but my point in saying that is I think even though McConnell and Trump and the dynamics between the two of them will result in no legislation regarding gun control in the coming year after the election, I think there's a good possibility that everything is Democratic and there will be gun control.
Well, It'll probably be, excuse me, I'm going to have to mute myself for 1 minute. It would probably be a talking point. It's going to be an insert in the talking point. But you may be more optimistic than I do. Americans have short memory. This will soon fade. Donald Trump will do something today that will take that off the market, and it'll be in the back burner. Let me tell you something about gun control, Mike. And Ellen, help me out here. Here's what I have to say. Stop it, you morons.
And David is in the studio, too.
I'm sorry?
David is in the studio.
Oh, okay. I got to get to David in 2 seconds. Oh, by the way, we have a gentleman listening who's also, and I don't want to say his name until he comes into the studio. He's been on Fox News. He's been on MSNBC. He's been on CNN. He has a book coming out, but he's also a commentary. He's also a radio guy. He's a Fox guy. He is listening to the show. He followed me yesterday. I want to welcome him, and let me just say, I would love for you to come in the studio anytime you like to. But I think his main platform is Fox News as a host. So you got an open invitation to come into the studio anytime. Here's what I have to say really quickly. Stop it with the gun control. Knock it off. Stop it. You cannot. There's no such thing as gun control, first of all. These are for morons who want to feel safe. I know if I took a list really quickly because I got to talk really fast. The list of how many people died with AR-15s, a lot does. And the argument is if you take the AR-15 off the market, what are you going to do? You're going to have a nut go into – we've been doing this with – we used to call it postal. You're going to have a nut going in with a shotgun, whatever. There's no such thing as gun control. If you want gun control, okay, go back to the Constitution and try to get a revision on the Constitution or an extendment or whatever you want to do. Mike, this is ridiculous. I hate it. Every time some nut gets shot, it's gun control, mental illness, this. You cannot stop a crazy doing crazy things. They're unpredictable. They will use any weapon necessary. I don't believe in gun control. What say you, sir? And we'll go right to David.
Here's the problem with that. I think the one is, and I keep saying gun control, it really should be weapons control. I think it's like the Democrats and environmentalists were running around for a long time talking about global warming rather
right.
than climate change, and it's a different term, and we're really not talking about global warming. We're talking about climate change. And we're really not talking about gun control. We're talking about weapons regulation. And I think terms and language matters. And I do think – I don't think the Constitution needs to be rewritten. The Bill of Rights needs to be rewritten. I think the Second Amendment, I don't necessarily agree with the way the Supreme Court is currently interpreting the Second Amendment. Chief Justice Warren – a Republican Chief Justice, not a conservative Chief Justice, but a Republican Chief Justice, he had some pretty colorful comments about the NRA scamming the American people on what the Second Amendment really is all about. I don't think the Second Amendment, I think, it doesn't matter what I think, but there are legal scholars that don't think the Second Amendment is as broad, should be as broadly applied as it is or has been by the current Supreme Court. But I do think that certain weapons can be regulated consistent
with the
Second Amendment.
But is it going to stop the shooting?
I don't mean to be rude, Mike, but I'm going to let David in.
Let
me finish, though. I do think it can, because you made the comment that I am countered earlier. Not
sure.
All mass shooters are mentally ill. They're
well,
not.
I agree with you 100%.
Down. But yeah,
right.
and I'll even throw out Ronald Reagan in the mix.
Right.
If you regulate the production of certain types of weapons, the AR class of weapons, don't make them available to the public. Eventually, if they're not being manufactured, there won't be parts manufactured. Eventually, those weapons won't be as widely accessible to people. They're less accessible, they'll be less in use. And yes, someone can go in with a rifle, which should not be banned according to the Second Amendment. And that's a valid safety tool.
I don't mean to rush you, Mike, because I'm
not. But you're not going to be killing 27 people, or excuse me, 10 people in 27 seconds with a rifle.
Right. But here's the problem. We got so many people already own them. We got millions and millions. You can regulate them right now, but you still got millions and millions of people already own them. They're already in their homes. So what are you going to do? Go to their home to take out their AR-15?
No.
That's the problem we have, regulation.
I said exactly the opposite. I just said that, over time, parts become unavailable. If you restrict the manufacturing of these products,
I understand.
And it's a parts eventually become unavailable for them, and eventually, you know, it might take some time. But most people that have these weapons are not running around committing mass shootings. But the question becomes, does a person need this type of weapon? And is it protected by the second? And is it protected? Is it protected by the Second Amendment?
And here's David. Thank you, Mike. Hold on, Mike. David, you're live on the air. You got about
Yes, sir. Thanks for my call.
You're welcome, David.
Yeah. So I was going to say to you, to your point there, there's about 16 million AR-15s are owned in the U.S. 16 million. And so when you say most don't use it, most means 99.9% of people don't use AR-15s to go out and kill people. And you have to understand, the people who are pushing this gun control narrative, they always are going to move the goalposts. So now they're saying, oh, because of mass shootings, we need to get rid of these classification of guns. But then the argument will change because the reality is the majority of gun homicides are done with handguns. So once they get rid of the assault weapons, supposedly, then they're going to move and say, well, actually, we need to ban all handguns, including handguns, because they actually are the ones that account for most of the gun violence. And so this is a game they're playing, which is they know they can't come outright and just ban the Second Amendment. They know that. They won't be able to succeed, so they'll just go a little bit at a time and chip away at it. And they'll slowly erode it, and eventually, you know, that old saying, you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. That's what their goal is. That's why we resist these people from the jump, because we know what their ultimate agenda is. And so we can't take that chance, because once they can get the guns here in America, that's it. There's really no other nation, developed nation on earth, that allows its citizens to arm themselves.
Well, that's actually not accurate. There are other countries that have laws that they don't have constitutional amendments, like we have the Second Amendment. And it's not really a question of narrowing the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment's application has been expanded by the Supreme Court over the years, particularly in the last 10 years. You know, the Supreme Court for the first 100 years of this country was very narrowly read by the Supreme Court, very narrowly. 150 years is very narrowly read by the court. And it's only been in the last 30 years, the last couple of generations, where it's been expansively read and broadened by the court. Again, particularly...
Well, we already have regulations in place. For example, you can't buy automatic guns. There's only some certain people that have a clearance. Well, that is, because when you talk about getting rid of
guns... Why are you telling me what my point is?
No, because people like yourselves who don't understand what guns are, people say semi-autos and conflate it with an automatic weapon.
I didn't say that, did I?
I didn't say you, because I said people like yourself who push the gun control narrative. That's my point. You take it because, hold on, my point I'm making is you want to take advantage of the public's ignorance as to what guns are.
Whoa.
So people in public see an AR-15, they see these assault rifles, they're big, and they assume that these guns are more dangerous than a handgun. But a handgun is just as dangerous as an assault rifle.
That's false.
It just depends on the user.
I've been in the military,
sir. If you know how to handle a gun, you can be just as effective. If I have a 30-clip 9mm handgun, I can do just as much damage with someone who has an AR-15.
Clips are part of the problem, too. I mean, that's part of the debate. And for you to make these blanket statements that I don't know what I'm talking about because I'm, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, I wasn't in the military, but I served the commander-in-chief directly. Part of what I did was dealing with media information regarding military weapons, tools, whatever. I have a decent background when it comes to weapons. I'm not calling for banning rifles, handguns, things like that. Those are protected by the Second Amendment clearly. When you get into things like AR-type weapons, there is a debate amongst legal scholars and on the Supreme Court, including amongst conservative justices, as to whether that category of weapons are protected by the Constitution. In the end, the court, no matter how, quote, conservative the court gets, there are going to be justices on the court, including so-called conservative justices, that maintain that the Constitution should not, the Second Amendment, should not be extended to protect the private ownership of AR class weapons.
Well, that's ridiculous.
That's just,
that's just an example of people who already have an anti-gun bias in their own personal thing. That's what they want to do. And that's
just
the game that's being played. It doesn't matter what the Supreme Court, you can cite them if you want to. We know, look, we're not dumb in America. We know your game, we know your scheme, we know your script. You're not fooling anybody. We all know what it is. You want to start at the assault with the ARs, and you're going to gradually work your way through. That's what it is. It may not be you in particular. But there's a large movement of people in this country that do not want to have the Second Amendment.
I have zero idea.
We're not playing into that game. You don't need to know who I am. I'm just calling you out on your BS, and you're not fooling anybody.
Where do people like, again, I'm going to ask this question I ask all the time. Where do people like you come from that spew BS? Is that you have yet to make a cogent constitutional argument about gun control because you cannot do it. So you resort to spewing out things like
what do you mean a constitutional argument? We have a Second Amendment that gives us the citizens the right to bear arms. Now you want to say, oh, the right to bear arms, is it defined? Is it allowed for certain types of weapons? We already have that in place because the ATF bans automatic weapons. If you don't have a security clearance, as of 1983, you can't even purchase an automatic weapon. That's a fact.
Tell me what the Second Amendment says. Tell me the entire Second Amendment.
I can't quote the entire thing to you, but I know what
can.
It sums up.
I know you can't.
I don't need
you
to quote it. We know it. Can you?
Yes, you do.
I don't need to quote the whole First Amendment to know that the First Amendment guarantees me what the rights I can guarantee from that. It's irrelevant,
Dave, look, I know you think you're saying things that are correct, important, inspiring. But
the Second Amendment
doesn't
outline what type of guns you can and cannot have.
That's you and
the modern day
Dave,
gun control cabal that wants to project onto that because you've been indoctrinated by the media to have this fear of AR weapons. AR-15s are not the problem.
What I have a fear of is ignorant people like you who run around misinterpreting the Second Amendment. Who say that
since you're the genius, interpret it for us. Tell us, because you're God, you want to tell us what we can and can't have. Well, I'm going to tell you this.
Did I just not say that earlier? Perhaps you weren't listening. So let me repeat it, Dave. The Constitution protects the Second Amendment to the Constitution based on interpretation by the Supreme Court, which is the body that decides what the Second Amendment means, despite what you just said, which was wholly inaccurate. The Supreme Court has made it
clear. I stated that the Second Amendment does not give
an
outline for what guns.
Dave, why are you cutting me off?
Because you cut me off, you asshole. So don't sit there and try to be pretentious, okay? You can't cut me off and then turn around and get mad when I cut you off.
You've never been on Fox News, clearly.
We have 3 minutes left.
And I'm not going to spend my time talking to someone like this.
I want to thank Mike Cuomo.
Dave needs to go.
Wait. First of all, I want to clear something. I want to thank Dave for coming in. It's a good argument. He did debate the other side.
Not.
And He didn't give a good argument.
That's the problem.
You may not agree. Okay.
No, he didn't.
I want to thank Dave for coming in.
Present an argument. That's the problem. That's the whole issue.
He did. He did in a way. You know I love you, Mike.
All this guy did was say the American people are ignorant. Say that I'm ignorant. He doesn't understand what the Second Amendment says, and he hasn't. I will stake my life on. That man has not been on Fox News for anything.
No, Dave is not the Fox News commentator. Dave is a good person. Dave will come in and Dave will he will say his views.
I am not wasting my time to someone talking to someone whose argument is you're full of BS. My time is limited. I am not.
The reason I'm making that argument is that people like yourselves are going along with the large part of the population that wants to ban guns. If you can't acknowledge the fact that there's people on the left in this country that have advocated for the removal of the Second Amendment,
where's your
then
argument?
You don't understand
the Second Amendment.
No, the basis of my argument is
to you.
is
I'm
not to go along
to
with it and not to give in
Davey.
On any point.
Davey.
That's it.
Davey. I'm more concerned with honoring
don't,
what the
don't be condescending.
Says.
You see, look,
David,
elitist academic assholes
David,
like yourself
David,
think you're better
than
everybody.
Condescending.
David,
it's
the
more than
come on, man.
David, it's more than
you're,
condescending.
You're not a real person.
I have
okay?
absolutely
you're,
no.
You're
no
the guy who
you.
Got picked on in high school, who's playing in the chess club. I get it, and now you think you're doing something. But that's a separate issue. Okay, come on, man.
Again, Brian. I am not going to waste my time.
I want to thank Mike
Brian,
Romo. Yes, yes,
you need
yes,
to you
I'm
need
Mike.
To mute David because I'm not wasting my time, which is valuable.
Well, the
he doesn't need to do anything. Now you're telling him what to do. You see what I'm saying?
The segment is
I
over.
People like this
wanna,
guy who thinks that they're lords
Romo,
over everyone.
And I want to thank David for
coming
in the show.
Guys.
Get out
and,
of here.
As you can tell, the debate about gun control goes very smoothly. And I want to thank both of you two. For giving your expert opinions, and our show is over right
now.
You know
what? Hold on.
Yes.
Hold on. For you to even suggest that my opinion is the same as that wingnut is absolutely unacceptable.
No, no. See, the difference, Mike, is it's called trolling. You see, you take yourself so seriously, you don't realize when somebody's trolling you. But that's the thing, you don't get it. Because you don't have a sense of humor. You take yourself
Dave,
too serious.
Dave,
you're
Dave,
nobody. Nobody cares about
Dave,
your opinion. You act like you're somebody.
Okay. And
you're just
thank
some
you
asshole.
To Brian and Ellen in the morning, and we had a great debate on
no,
gun
we
control.
Didn't. No, Brian, you didn't.
Mike,
you didn't,
no,
Brian.
We didn't. Mike.
No, you didn't, Brian. You had some two-bit moron call in again because you hope it'll boost up your ratings. People don't like
Mike,
to hear.
Mike,
no,
that's
no,
not
I'm
fair.
Not the,
Mike.
People, it is
Mike,
absolutely fair. People do
Mike,
not want
that's
to
not
hear.
Fair.
It is.
Mike,
people do not want to
it's,
hear.
No, Mike, if
people
Mike, it's an open. Mike, it's an open forum.
No.
I did not call anybody to.
Did I not
to,
make it clear? I am not going to spend my time, waste my time, with the same person calling back time and again, spewing out ridiculous rubbish, and insulting me. I'm not going to do it. I don't have to.
I okay. All
I don't,
right. Well,
I
thank
don't
you.
Have to.
Mike,
have
nobody set you up.
Have someone, no, have,
Mike,
yeah, baloney. It's baloney. It's the same guy calling
okay.
over and over and over.
Well, Mike, people call in the show, and I got to take the call.
No,
and
this guy calls in your show. This guy.
He doesn't call
in
every
show.
Day, but
you let him run
your segment
wrong.
Is
you
so popular, Mike. Mike, yeah. Your segment is
you
so popular.
You're not getting it, Brian. You're not getting it. I am not going to waste my time having a discussion
okay.
with an ignorant buffoon. I'm not going to do it.
Okay. All right, Mike. I,
it's not.
I
it's not appropriate.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you.
It's a waste of time. Your listeners don't
Mike,
want to hear that.
Mike, that's not totally accurate. We had three or four segments where nobody came in and we talked. We had a discussion on politics.
And then you have
this
buffoon call in. And then you have this mindless idiot call in again.
Okay.
Spewing out.
Well,
what makes you think that when I speak on other shows, go to other shows, they don't have the same idiot? And idiot's a good word to use. Call in time and insult me. Why do you, that's a waste of my time. It's a waste of your time. It's a waste of your listeners' time.
Okay.
He did
I
not
understand.
Provide anything intelligent to the discussion of gun control because he doesn't
but he
understand
did, but Mike, there are some people who oppose all of our views, and we do have people with different views and their point of view. So it's interesting to hear how they come to that conclusion. We get Trump supporters on this show all the time that they're not going to agree with us.
It's not interesting when someone's debating point is your and then spews out a bunch of insults. That's not a debating point.
Well, I understand. I understand completely.
No, you don't. You don't seem to. You don't seem to, actually. Because
Mike,
you keep having
I do.
The same guy, you keep having the same guy call in and insult
no,
you.
No,
when
no,
I'm
no,
questioning.
No. We don't know when Dave is going to call in. I mean,
you
know
who Dave
like,
is, correct? You know
no,
who Dave
we don't.
Is,
no,
we
don't know who
yeah,
Dave is.
You do. You just
no,
told
we don't.
Me you know who Dave is. At the beginning of the segment, you told me who Dave was.
I'm saying I'm familiar with the name. He doesn't call in
even
every day.
I know. Even I know who Dave is. Because he's called in three or
but
four times.
But what do you want me to do? You want me to ban? Do you want me to ban Dave from coming in the studio on your segment? Is that what you're asking me?
Why would I? Why do you think I would want to have a Why would you think that I want to be told I'm going to have a serious conversation with someone about gun control and then I get Dave?
Well, let me just tell you this. When you're on Facebook and you're on social media, you're going to get people with different opposing views. And part of the conversation goes, how do they think this way? Why do they think this way? And you present your argument on your thing. I know
this
I cannot.
This person doesn't present an argument, Brian.
I understand, but he does present a view of other people, too, who are listening to the show, who are pro-gun, though.
Then why don't you have him put him on for an hour on Tuesday?
I'd rather have you.
Let's see how that goes.
Mike, don't do this. Don't do this.
Yeah.
I'm making a fair point.
Look, okay, listen.
The point is I have you on the show because – The thing, but you have to be understand when you we're running over a segment here and we're running through this.
But I
have to.
3 weeks ago, I said I was going to, I'm going and I will do this in the future. If Dave appears again, then it's Dave's segment because I am not going to waste my time being insulted by someone who doesn't know what he's talking about. Not going to do it.
Okay. If that's where you stand, okay. My stance is that I got to do a radio show. And that whatever David is thinking and whatever Trump supporters are thinking, I gotta acknowledge that they are 20% of our audience. So I gotta be true to what we do. But I understand. You gotta make your own decision, Mike. I understand. All right. Well,
I'm not gonna wait. If that starts again, I hope I get to come back to your show. I enjoy being on your show. But a person that is willing to come on your show or on any show needs to draw a line when it comes to someone that keeps calling in just to insult the person speaking.
I understand, but I think you're better. We know that's going to happen.
I'm better.
But Mike,
that's
going to happen on Facebook.
No, it doesn't happen.
Mike, you have to admit that you can't control the narrative that people spew sometimes.
When you have the same person calling time and time and time again, it's boring. It's uninformative.
He does call time and time again.
All right.
I don't know how many times I've been on the show, but this is at least the sixth or seventh time I've had this conversation with
you. All right. Then, Mike, I understand. I understand, and if it bothers you that much, here's where I stand. I stand that I'm a radio host. Ellen's a radio host. Anybody, I get the Trump supporters come in. I don't shut them down because I know that's a percentage of the audience that are listening. They come in and they attack me. They're going to be trolls. They're going to be this, but we got to learn how to handle them because our narrative.
I know how to handle trolls. I've been dealing with trolls for years.
All right.
One of the ways you handle them is you draw boundaries. Boundaries are important when it comes to the media.
All right. Okay, Mike, I understand. Well, we're going over. I want to thank you for coming in. We did have some good conversation on what's going on with Trump, and we had some conversation on gun control. Mike Bromo, how people can reach you on Facebook, and also we're way over, but how people can reach you on Facebook and social media. Mike's a writer, too, and if you have a project, I think Mike said last week that he's open to hearing you pitch a project to him, and this is how you reach him on Facebook or Twitter.
Easiest way on Facebook is just my name or at my writer site, Mike Brummel Writer, either or.
I want to thank you, Mike, for coming on the show, and we're really running late, and she took her time. We're going to talk about sex and the love guru. Thank you for listening to Hammer 96.7 BT Radio, along with the number one girl, Ellen J., and our show starts now. Ellen, take me to the next show. Take me to the next show.
Next show, the love guru, Allison O'Donnell. So.